This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dale, and welcome to the Christian War Room. Okay, what is the War Room all about? Said it many times now, and if you've been following the series, you might get bored of this as well, but the War Room is, in my opinion, something very, very important. In the Second World War, there were loads of them around, and again, I mentioned it many times before, but let me do it one more time, and maybe I'll do it many more times in the future to come as well, but In my experience here in Britain, and it's a little bit bizarre because I'm German, yeah, living in Great Britain, and Great Britain was a great enemy of Germany in the Second World War. And the church where I used to go to, we had a retreat once a year, a Christian retreat, in a place called Bawtry Hall. And it used to be a Christian retreat center. I think it's been sold, and it's... Sorry for the cough, it's still struggling here. it's been sold, and it no longer is a retreat center. But that hall, it was used to be a some sort of country place. And that place was used, was requisitioned in the war as Bomber Command. And I don't think it was the Bomber Command. There were places sort of littered all over the country. And they were looking at different parts. Apologies for that. They were looking at different parts in the country to protect certain areas of the country. And they looked at the aeroplanes they had and at their disposal. And they were monitoring the planes which were coming in. And it was the bizarre thing is, you know, when we had our meetings and we had our, you know, worship and so on sessions, that was actually in the very room the Bomber Command was active about, I don't know, about how many years before. I think at the time it would have been, yeah, close enough, 70 years before. So it was all very, very bizarre in a way. But basically, a lot of decisions and a lot of activities were done from just one little room, and a lot of lives depended on it. Lives in Britain to be protected, and also bombers were sent out from that place to Germany to destroy life. It's a very very gruesome scenario when you sort of think about what was going on in this place about 70 years ago. Obviously, people were just doing a job on both sides. But it was just a job of murder and killing, what every war is. And let me tell you, I mean, I don't want to blame anybody or you know, make a big fuss about this or go into the whole politics of war. But I'm looking forward to the time when Jesus comes back and when the Bible talks about a millennium, about an era of peace, when there will be peace in the world restored from one end to the other, and differences will be settled in before the throne of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And I'm really looking forward to that, where it is no longer necessary for people to kill one another for one reason or another. Anyway, we as Christians are called to war, and we are living in a wicked and in an evil time. And we have got the enemy of God on the loose, trying to deceive and to destroy, to confuse, to lead us astray, and to murder us as well. And our battle is not against flesh and blood, it is against spiritual entities. And that is very, very important when we talk about the war room here, that we just point this out all the time. There's no jihad or anything like that going on. But there is a war against the spiritual forces which oppose themselves and set themselves up against God Almighty. And for some strange reason, God has decided to recruit us as his soldiers in this battle and in this war. I want to look at the 21st century now. We were sort of having a quick walk through history, very, very loosely, with lots of tangents from Genesis all the way to now. Yeah? And we are now getting into the now era. So we've got the new millennium. And again, I was around. I've seen it all, been through it, and we one thing we noticed at the end of the last millennium, we were looking at this massive apostasy of people just falling away right, left, and center, churches being decimated and diminished in the West, and general society being completely apostate. You know, having gone apostate, they just don't want to know about God anymore. God has become irrelevant. And now that God has been pretty much abolished and has been replaced with some nondescript entity, who some people still call God, but they don't really know what this new God they have created for themselves, what he wants, and what he seems to want is just whatever the people want. Yeah. And so they just do as they see fit with their own eyes. And that is sort of very descriptive of the situation at the end of the 20th century. 21st century comes, and we are now 18 years in. And what do we see? Other than me having a very bad cold, what we see is that that life has changed dramatically. Life has changed dramatically. In Isaiah, it says, "Woe unto those who say to evil good, and good evil, who make good evil and evil good, who take light for darkness and darkness for light." And that is what we are seeing, so that moral values have been totally inverted in many areas. And from what I can see, this is just a ploy of the enemy. So the first thing he does is he gets them away from a Judeo-Christian ethos. And he's worked about 100 years on this. And he has achieved this. The majority of the people have completely fallen by the wayside. They don't understand right and wrong anymore. They've got no understanding. They've got no idea what is right. They've got no idea what is wrong. When I look at the standards people have, at the moral standards, they are extremely duplicit. They don't make any sense anymore. They don't make any sense anymore. And one example is in Germany we had politics, yeah, and we've got the left and we've got the right. Yeah. The left says we need to be tolerant and we need to be accepting and embracing everything, and we need to be democratic and the people's voice needs to be heard and so on. So there's a new party which was voted into parliament in response to the whole crisis, migrant crisis, yeah, where one politician decided we can just open the doors, let anybody in, and pretty much indiscriminately. And then once they're in, they can bring as many people as they want, and we're going to pay for it all as well. And a lot of people, they were very upset about it because you weren't talking about you know, just a small number of people, but there were millions of people coming in, and it's going to change the fabric of society forever. So they were quite upset about it. So they got into parliament. They got a lot of seats. Okay, what's happening now? When you look at what this party was saying, there was nothing really out of the ordinary. All they said is, you know, we need to stick to the rules. That's pretty much what they said, you know, just be reasonable. You know, there was no racist agenda or anything which can be identifiable from this party. It was just like stick to the rules, pretty much what the other parties used to stand for about 10, 20 years back. But now it's different, you know, they have the spin policy. They just need to please the people, and they follow some very strange hidden agendas nobody really understands. Okay, now you get these people who say, oh, we need to be tolerant, we need to be accepting, democracy and all the rest of it. And they suddenly started to call for violence against these new people who have come in into parliament. They started blocking the roads, they started wreaking havoc, and they started sort of creating a lot of problems. Similar, you know, the so-called Antifa movement, which is all supposed to be about tolerance and being accepting and, you know, looking for the underdog, after the underdog, which is a good thing. Yeah, I've got nothing against this. They had a big meeting in Hamburg, and suddenly what we find is that they can't go anywhere near the premises where all the politicians from the, was it G8 or something, where they came to have the little meeting and the little gathering. And so they just went into some residential area where just people have got nothing to do with the whole thing. And they started turning cars over, setting them on fire. Houses went on fire. They wouldn't allow the fire trucks to get through to try and sort the problems. And parts of Hamburg just looked like a war zone. And sort of this is a hypocrisy. Nobody dared to stand up against this. There were police was there. They tried to gain control. There were, I don't know the figures exactly, but there were quite a number of them which were injured. Yeah. And again, these guys, I mean, they're just people. They're just doing a job. And they are not, maybe some of them lose it at times. But if they don't cause any problems, they don't cause any problems either. And then there were a few from these, you know, guys who were these so-called Antifa guys. They were injured as well. And here's the interesting thing. The newspaper was making a big fuss, the press making a big fuss about these people who got injured, who clearly were attacking the police, and the police were more or less just defending themselves. But nobody lost a word about those, the numbers within the police force which were injured. And it's just a really bizarre thing. So the people who wreak havoc, they have got all the rights. And the state needs to, you know, according to the press, be answerable to these people and compensate them, even though they were attacking the police. But then the police force itself had no rights. And then the more bizarre thing is these people allegedly stand for tolerance and the underdog and, you know, making sure that great capitalism is destroyed and democracy stands there, that the big fish are going to be accountable. Yeah, that's what they are trying to stand for. But then on the other side, they just wreak havoc and they make the lives of ordinary people a misery. It just beckons belief when you hear these stories of what's going on there and what's going on in our societies. And also the way the press seems to work, you know, that anything these people do is okay and is going to be sanctioned and is great. But if somebody stands for what is good and right, they're going to be vilified. They're going to be vilified. Okay, and this is just talking a little bit of politics, some of the stuff I've seen, what was going on, and which to me doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Similar thing as well in America with the whole Trump election, where the press just seems to be biased to the brim, where anything, you know, the president says is going to be turned around and declared to be really evil and bad and so on. And yet, when there are groups who wreak havoc on the streets, when Trump was elected, that was considered to be justifiable. It's just really, really bizarre sometimes the world is turned to. And when I sort of, again, take the time, my timeline, and I turn the time back about 20, 30 years before that, there was nothing like that. There was nothing like that. When you had a demonstration, there were good reasons for it. When you had people going on the streets, on the barricades, there were very, very good reasons for it, but nothing like what we have today. It's just very, very, very strange indeed. Okay, so what else have we got? We've got a new morality that's been generated in the 21st century. And so, for example, the morality of, you know, having, you know, being faithful to one wife and making sure your kids are okay and, you know, not committing adultery, you know, being a man of integrity, you know, that you don't cheat anybody or deceive anybody. So these values, they are no longer that important. And, you know, if somebody just messes about and leaves his wife and, you know, does all sorts of other stuff, that's kind of okay these days, yeah, because maybe they've got problems or whatever. So people don't even frown about it anymore. But then on the other side, if you generate a massive carbon footprint, you don't separate your rubbish. And you drive a car that's not very economical, that suddenly seems to be a big problem. Yeah. There's like a new morality which has come up of it, you know, where certain things are perfectly acceptable. You know, immorality, you know, which from a Christian perspective is immorality, is acceptable. That's not a problem. But when you keep your engine running on a winter's day because you want to keep warm in the car, that's evil and that's wicked. And I can give you one story as well. I was in Germany And I'm not sure what the reason was, but I had my brother in the car, and we went to, they've got like a local sports airport. I don't know whether we wanted to stay there, look at something. I don't know what it was. There was a reason why we went up there. And anyway, so I sat with my brother in the car, and it was a cold day. It was icy. And I kept the engine running to keep the car warm. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I've paid for the fuel. Yeah. The car is not burning an excessive amount of fuel just to keep the engine ticking over. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. Anyway, there was one guy, and he just got out of his car, and I had a question to ask him what... something. I don't remember what it was exactly. And anyway, what I remember, though, is the first thing he did is he had a go at me. You know, really told me off because I was keeping the engine running whilst the car was stood. I'm not sure whether the law requires me to turn it off. That might be actually true. There might be Germany, everything is regulated. There might be a law with that. But he was giving me a really hard time. So I thought, okay, just to shut him up, I turned the engine off. I think there actually is a law. Otherwise, with hindsight, I probably wouldn't have done it. But I thought about this, and it really struck me. And what's happened in Germany, and it's happened in England as well, and I can see this, is that there's been a second morality which is being created. And that is something which is totally new in the 21st century. And this morality is about saving energy, you know, not burning too much fuel, being energy efficient, you know, having energy-saving bulbs. You know, everything has to be around energy. I think the latest thing which really struck me was you can't buy vacuum cleaners that are over a certain power because it's a European directive to save energy. So vacuum cleaners are only allowed to have, is it 800 watts or something? And I managed to get one of the last ones, which was still on the market, for, I think it was a 2000 watt vacuum cleaner, and when this was happening, I tried to read up on it, and I saw this stuff, and that's sort of the new thing, and it is to me really, really bizarre. I mean, first of all, am I using my vacuum cleaner 24/7? Probably not. Maybe some people do. I don't. Yeah. If I have a vacuum cleaner, I want to have a powerful one so that I can suck all the dirt out, and I'm done and dusted, and I don't need to vacuum for ages. But the point I'm making is there's been a new morality that's been created, all based on this, mistaken concept of climate change and of carbon being released in the air, which then in return is supposed to change the climate. And we need to look after the earth, and therefore we have to reduce the amount of energy we use, and therefore we have to get the politicians who, make all these laws to try and stop us to get our carpets properly clean and to have energy-saving bulbs and to, not keep the engine running when the car is stood and so on, yeah? So that's a new morality. That's a new morality which we are dealing with in the 21st century. Some time ago, I was doing a talk on this new morality, and I managed to get a film clip of where they interviewed some children, and one child actually said that she wished she were dead because she is so bad for nature. And this is how far this indoctrination has gone, you know, from little kids in the school age. And what they are forgetting is that God has created this planet. He has created this universe. He has given us a huge amount of energy. It's an infinite amount of energy which we've got with the sun. And he wants us to control the earth, to make it subject, and to use it, to use what's in the earth, and to use what the earth is giving us, and to use the energy which is there as well. And then somebody comes along and says, no, you can't do this. This is evil. Yeah, this is evil. And then suddenly your moral code is going to be shifted from a life of integrity, of integrity with the people around you and everything else. The Ten Commandments, you know, where you should focus on. To something which is totally different, which is suddenly and some sort of environmental of nature is my God kind of law, and I need to worship it, and to worship it I need to deny myself and drive less and drive a smaller car and be environmentally friendly and so on, so on. And I'm not knocking this. Some of the environmental friendly things, they surely are good, and it's a good idea. But then on the other side, when this becomes my new morality, you've got a real problem. Because one day when you stand before heaven, when you go and you die and you stand before God, and it's a question of whether you're going to make heaven or not, I tell you one thing, God is not going to ask you, you know, how much energy did you use on my planet? He's not going to ask you about this question. You know, did you keep the engine on in wintertime when you try to keep warm? Or did you turn it off straight away? That's not going to be the issue. What he'll be asking you is what have you done? The first question is, what have you done with my son? Did you accept him? Did you accept him as your Lord and Savior? What have you done with the people around you? You know, have you been faithful to your wife? Have you been faithful to your husband? What did you do with your children? Did you take time to teach your children about me? Did you talk to them about me? Did you try to raise them up in the fear of God? Or what did you do with them? These are the questions. And I think when you go towards the end of the life, these are the questions as well, which are there. You know, what did you do to the people around you? But again, you know, this is the brainwashing that's been taking place in the new millennium. And we have been sort of indoctrinated with this again and again and again to come to a point that we believe that it's wicked and evil to use private transport to drive by car and to move us from A to B in a car. Because that's what we've been told, you know, and we are the biggest problem, and the planet is heating up, and soon, you know, they're going to have big waves, and the sea levels are going to rise, and half the island nations are going to be underwater. That's what we've been told, and that's what we've been told since the 70s. Now, here's a question. Have the sea levels risen? No, they haven't. Has the weather gone worse? Yes, it has. Has it got to do with the so-called global warming? No, because global warming didn't take place. So they changed it to climate change. Has the climate changed? Yes. Why has the climate changed? And there are very simple answers. There have been changes in the sun, and you can scientifically go through all the statistical figure, look at the values you've got in the sun for the last 100 years, as far as it's been seen through. And you can see that there have been changes taking place, and they pretty much correlate with some of the climate irregularities which have been there, and it's a big problem. Now, the biggest problem, again, my friends, is not, you know, some of the environmental stuff is good, and I subscribe to it, and I think, yeah, we should do this. We shouldn't poison ourselves. We shouldn't poison our fish and our waters and our soils. We should make sure that we maintain them in a responsible manner, and that we deal with the nature around us in a responsible manner. In the end, I mean, we don't defecate in our own gardens, and we don't, you know, we don't throw the rubbish in our living rooms. Yeah? But we throw the rubbish out of our houses, and we try to get it away from where we live. And it's the same place, the same thinking as well, that we need to manage it in a responsible manner. And there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm all for it. But what I'm against is if this is used to shift our morality, if this is used to tell us what is sinful and what is not sinful, to get the concept of sin shifted to something else, to the point that children even think that they are the biggest problem, and they wish they were dead so that nature could live and that the little penguins would have a better life. And I think that's a big problem. I wish they had the recording. I would have to dig it out, and it would take me quite some time to just play it on here and to let you see what this little girl was saying. It's just shocking. It's just shocking. And all it is just like mass media manipulation, the agenda which is pushed out by a very few people, and they use this to try and manipulate the masses. Now, we as Christians, we need to rise up against this. And that is war room stuff, where we need to get in and we really need to analyze what is really going on. You know, is this global warming stuff real? Is this climate change stuff here real? Are there alternative explanations? And there's tons of stuff on the internet, but we need to pull it together, present it, and then let people know, guys, stop it. You know, there is a God out there, and you need to turn to this God. And if you don't do this, you will find that you will lose out your eternal salvation. and you will suffer for it in a great deal. You need to make sure that you're okay with God. You don't have to make sure primarily that you're okay with nature. Even though it's good and commendable, the first and foremost relationship you need to sort out in your life is your relationship with the living God. And that is important. Also, you know, the inversion of morality, where anything goes these days, you know, if you are one or the other, if your sexual orientation is all over the place, if you are no longer sure whether you are a boy or a girl, that's okay these days, according to this world. But I tell you, God has got a better way for you. He has got a plan for you. He has got a plan for you the way you are. And he wants you to walk in the ways of his word, in the ways of God. And it is important for you that you find your relationship, that you find your balance, that you find your peace in the living God. And that from this perspective out, you can walk through this life as a man, as a woman that is redeemed, that is justified, who is following the plan God has laid out for you, for your life, from before the beginning of the world. And there's only, he's got a job for you, and there's only one person who can do this job, and that is you. And this is what he wants you to do. And he wants to give you fulfillment and everything you need, so that when you go to bed at night, you will say to yourself, this was a day worthwhile. But the only way to get it is through recognizing your problem, which is sin, through recognizing your problem, your real problem, which is separation from the living God, and being willing to turn around from the ways you're on to the ways God wants you to walk in. And the Bible calls this repentance, and the repentance is not just feeling miserable about yourself and about the stuff you've done, but it's about turning away from it deliberately and turning towards the good stuff God wants you to do. Okay, my friends, I'll just encourage you. Don't give up. You know, come to Christ. Let him be the Lord and Master of your life. Don't listen to what this world has got to tell you. Don't listen to the propaganda that's been piped on the last 20 years and then in the 21st millennium, 21st century. But go for it. Go for it. That is my desire for you. Go for it and really reach out to the living God. Leave the stuff of this world behind you and embrace the great future God has got for you. And this great future, it starts the day you come to Christ, and it's never going to finish. It's never going to be finished. Okay, Lord, I just want to pray, Father, for all our listeners. I pray that you will open hearts, that you will open minds, that you will let people see the deception that is in this world and the twisting around that's been happening and the way the devil has shifted our morality from something which you don't care about and which is not that relevant, Lord, towards that stuff, from something which you really care about and which is really, really important. Like, do we love you? Do we not love you? How do we treat our neighbor? How do we treat the people around us? Are we treating them with love and integrity? Are we not doing it? And Lord, we pray, Father, that you will just let our people see the truth. Let them see the truth. Let our listeners see the truth. And do not let them fall for the lie and the trap the devil has laid out, and the devil has sort of pushed this generation to for the last 150 years and longer, for sure. I pray for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.